step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is The Big Breakdown. A long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Alec Murdaugh, lots of news there. Lots of things have been happening in the courtrooms as they prepare for what will be the Alec Murdaugh trial sequel. Where will it happen? When will it happen? What's going to be admissible? What's not? These are the fights that are happening right now. If you're new to true crime or new to court cases and stuff, the reality is so much of what happens in the actual trial happens before the actual trial starts. In motions hearings, that's what's going on right now. Alec Murdaugh walked into a courtroom in Lexington, South Carolina on August 14th of 2026. Dark blue suit, striped tie. He'd been weaving it in prison for the last however many months back there, you know, getting his skills on as a professional tie weaver. Okay, I don't think he was doing that, but, you know, he has the time. The last time he wore civilian clothes in court was November 28th of 2023, the day he was sentenced for stealing roughly $12 million. You know, when we all have those days. He stole from clients. He stole from the family of a dead housekeeper. He stole from anyone who trusted the Murdaugh name long enough to write a check. He has pled guilty to all of it and is serving a 40-year federal sentence. That's all context, okay? Let's get into the meat of what's going on here with the hearing. And as we do, your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I would love for you to weigh in. And if you've not done so yet, hey, you can take us with you beyond just YouTube. If you like listening to podcasts in the car, at work, at the gym, your walks, while you're stalking your ex-lovers. You know, we do highly discourage that, and we have a lot of cautionary tales about that on the program. But if you're looking for something to listen to while you're doing that, you know, the podcast is here for you. There's the QR code. Just scan it, follow it to your favorite podcast player, and press subscribe. Hopefully we can talk you down off that ledge while you're stalking someone by going, you know what, this didn't work out well for anybody he's talking about. Maybe I shouldn't do that. We're here for you. Okay, Judge Deborah McCaslin ordered the shackles off and the suit on. Her August 10th ruling said you can't show a guy to potential jurors in an orange jumpsuit for crimes that aren't even on trial. So there you go. Make him look nice. And people, I know, this is one of those cases where everybody's like, I want to see him burn. And I get it. I get it. I agree. I think just for the crime, financial crimes alone, absolute piece of shit. There's no redeeming Alec Murdaugh as a decent human being. But in the interest of us not having Alec Murdaugh trials for the next 25 years consecutively, because they get dismissed or they get thrown back over stupid things, and they can happen over the way you present someone in court, Your Honor. My client didn't have a fair trial because he was already presented as a criminal before the jury even had a chance to make their judgment. Cases have been reversed on that sort of shit before, so that's why it's important. Cross every T, dot every I. Give him all the regular advantages that any person who's being accused of a crime would be afforded. because you don't want to be able to go back on any technicality and have to do a Murdaugh trial part three. So understand some of that when you're hearing some of these things. You're like, that's bullshit. Yeah, but let's play the long game here. Not that what makes us feel best in the moment game. That's important. Murdaugh obviously has pled not guilty to the murders of his wife, Maggie, and their son, Paul. In McCaslin's courtroom for the murder case, he gets the suit. The defense team spent the next 3 hours getting nearly everything else they asked for. What? Yeah. Late in the hearing, they raised a claim that left prosecutor Creighton Waters telling the court he'd never heard of it. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Is it anything, or is it posturing? Is it grandstanding in a courtroom? It could be. Or it could be, like, genuine shock on the part of Creighton Waters. Murdaugh is 58 years old. He was convicted in March of 23 of murdering Maggie and Paul in the family's Moselle estate. That's, you hear Moselle, that's the family's house. In case you didn't name your house, well, they did theirs. Moselle. In Colleton County, Maggie was 52, Paul was 22. The killings happened in June 7th of 21, and prosecutors allege they were meant to distract from financial crime investigations closing in on Alec Murdaugh. The South Carolina Supreme Court threw out that conviction in May of 26. The court ruled that clerk Becky Hill had tainted the jury with improper contact during the trial. Hill had urged jurors to reach a guilty verdict. She was in the jury's ear the entire trial. She later pled guilty to perjury and obstruction. The woman responsible for managing the jury committed crimes actually against it, which is mainly why we're back here today talking about Alec Murdaugh and a new trial. McCaslin was appointed to oversee the retrial, now set for April 5th of 2027. I was going to say, the Titanic sank on April 14th. Of 1912. So almost, you know, setting sail around the same time. I don't know if there's any irony to that. I don't know. She started the August 14th hearing with where it would happen, because that's been up for grabs. She ordered it moved out of Colleton County, out of the entire 14th Judicial Circuit. She cited an exceptional rate of juror disqualification in the first trial. The Murdaugh's family's father, grandfather, and great-grandfather served as the circuit's chief prosecutors for most of the 20th century. Colleton County has roughly 37,000 people. Everybody either knows the family or knows someone who does. In the first trial, jurors were selected in just over 2 days, and the defense never challenged the process. This time, they're not taking any chances. And you may remember this, too. I mean, this is how embedded the Murdaugh name is with that courthouse. They had to take pictures down off of the wall of the Murdaugh family members, the generational family members, the grandfathers, the great-grandfathers. They had to take them off of the walls of the very room where Alec was being tried, because they didn't want to have anything up that, like, might give a view of impropriety or anything of that nature. Like, okay, there's your grandpa on the wall over there. He was the pillar of this community for so long. And people are concerned. People are concerned that the Murdaugh name, without a doubt, it has power in Colleton County. Does it have the power it did during the first trial? I would argue and say no. I think it's gone down a few points in its clout scale, if you will. Remember clout scale? Is that still a thing? I'd say it's gone down, but it still does yield power. And it does. History is history. There may be reasons people in Colleton County would not convict Alec Murdaugh that have nothing to do with the trial of Alec Murdaugh for those murders. And there may be motivation and incentive not to convict that have nothing maybe directly to do with Alec, but more to do with other people surrounding Alec. You don't know. There's a lot of weird shit connected in this county. I'm not insinuating any of that. I don't know that. But again, in the interest of not having any sort of inkling, scent of impropriety on any of this, yes, move the trial out. The defense wants Charleston. It's the biggest city in the state, largest jury pool, wonderful restaurants, great downtown. I freaking love Charleston. Best chance at finding 12 people without a personal connection to the Murdaugh name, they say. The prosecutor, though, Creighton, saying, I don't like this idea. Why? The cost. The April 5th date falls on Masters Week. The Masters, the Gulf, the Masters. That's played in Augusta, Georgia. It's about 150 miles away from Charleston. The prosecutors argue the overlap pushes tourist traffic a bit higher. I think Mr. McFeely might be here. I'll be right back. And we're back. It was, in fact, Mr. McFeely with a package delivery. And then we went to Make Believe Land for a moment. Actually, I actually have a sign on my doorbell very quickly that says, do not ring. And it, with my phone number, call this number for this purpose, because we're active studio in this house all the time. But it's my daughter's birthday. It was flowers that were being delivered for her, so I couldn't be mad. Anyway, let's continue on talking about the fine folk in South Carolina, including Alec Murdaugh. So, Augusta, the Masters going on, 150 miles away. You may think that's a long ways away. Yeah, there's a lot of people that show up for that thing. And there's not a lot of big cities in this general vicinity. So people do travel all the way from Charleston to Augusta for hotels and to just enjoy the sights and the sounds of Charleston while going to Augusta, because the two are so close and the two are beautiful destinations. So, you know, I'll give Creighton, I mean, he's got a point. It is an argument. It's going to be a little busy and hotels are going to be a little more expensive right at that moment in time, without a doubt. So maybe move the date of the trial. What's the big hurry on? Let's wait till the championship is done. I don't know. Not something I think at the end of the day that really impedes a whole lot, but I get it. You know, there's witnesses. There's a lot of people that are going to be inconvenienced. They're going to have to show up, testify, be a witness, be on hand, be ready for this. And Charleston's already an expensive city to begin with. When you raise the rates, you know, that much, it gets to be a bit pricey. So I get it, but will it truly impede the trial? I don't know. Hotel rates near the courthouse could double or triple, they said. Spring storms here. I mean, there's some argument here. Spring storms. I mean, they are kind of throwing everything at the wall. Spring storms regularly flood downtown and paralyze traffic. The state's position is that it can't afford to hold the retrial in the biggest city in the state. The defense pointed to a ruling from August 12th, though. A judge moved a civil lawsuit between Mallory Beach's estate and Parker's Kitchen Chain out of Hampton County and into Spartanburg County. Hampton County sits in the same judicial circuit. The defense argued that ruling supports the same conclusion. The 14th Circuit can't deliver a fair trial. So be with it as it may, wherever it may fall. McCaslin held off on which county gets the retrial, but the move itself is done. The trial won't happen in Colleton County. McCaslin told the courtroom she'd make sure the location is on the up and up. So it's not going to be happening, you know, in the backyard of, you know, one of the Murdaugh siblings. We decided to move it to Cousin Eddie's backyard. We're going to put a big old tent up. We're going to get some cameras. It's going to be pay-per-view. It's going to be great. She then agreed to personally oversee drafting the jury summons list. Defense attorney Dick Arpudlin asked the question that forced her hand. Becky Hill was caught tampering during deliberations. But when did that influence start? Was she shaping the pool before the trial even began? Arpudlin told the judge he never expected it to happen the first time. McCaslin didn't answer the question. She took the process over herself. The last person who ran jury selection in an Alec Murdaugh trial pled guilty to perjury, and McCaslin is starting from the ground up. McCaslin also ruled on the testimony question, portions of what Murdaugh said on the stand in 2023. Remember all that? Oh,
I did him so bad, and oh my God, Pawpaw and Little Boy John, and oh my God, and Peggy Sue, they were all, oh my God, I need a Kleenex.
Remember that shit? I'll save you not emitting snot from my nose while I emulate Alec Murdaugh. I save that for the live stage shows, which, by the way, is kind of like Gallagher. You got to have a big old tarp in front of you, because when I do my Alec Murdaugh impersonations, oh my God, boom! It's exciting. It's exciting. I'm telling you, you want to get tickets when we do the live shows. Wouldn't that be disturbing? Alec Murdaugh live. McCaslin also ruled on the testimony question. Portions of what Murdaugh said on the stand in 2023 can be played for the second jury. Only testimony relevant to the deaths of Maggie and Paul comes in, though. Everything else stays out. So he was up on that stand for, if memory serves me right, roughly about 3 hours in that ballpark, if I were to place a bet. So I don't know. I don't know how much of that is technically just to take a look back at that audio or that video. That's a good probably hour at least, though, of him talking. And it's not the most flattering. But will it have the same impact the second time around that it did the first? I'm going to say no. Because it was a shocking moment the second time around when we learned that he had been lying the whole time about being at the kennels. Like, the whole case was built about that. Then all of a sudden, boom, by the way, I lied. That was like, oh, holy shit. So you're lying about that too. And we just learned you lied about all this financial stuff. And now why are we supposed to believe that anything here is anything legit? And it's going to still have that effect, but will it have it with the same grit and teeth that it did in round one? I don't know the answer to that. The defense had argued he should never have testified at all. Their position, the prosecution loaded the first trial with so much financial crimes evidence that Murdaugh felt compelled to take the stand to respond. The Supreme Court later ruled the financial evidence went too far. In the Thursday filing, the defense argued that using his testimony now violates his Fifth Amendment rights. McCaslin was not persuaded. She told the courtroom, when you testify in a case, there's consequences. Murdaugh spent 2 days on the stand at the first trial. He confirmed under oath that he repeatedly lied to investigators about what happened the night of the killings. He admitted he lied about being at the kennels near where Maggie and Paul were found. He admitted he lied about the last time he saw them alive. He also admitted trying to arrange his own murder so his surviving son, Buster, could collect a life insurance payout. The testimony is locked in. The prosecution can use it whether or not he testifies again. And this time, the state has seen every word he's willing to say under oath. The defense put him up there in 2023. He told the jury he lied. McCaslin just told them they own it. McCaslin ordered law enforcement to hand over fingernail evidence as well to the defense for independent testing. This is big. We've been talking about this. The sample is unknown male DNA recovered from underneath Maggie Murdaugh's left-hand fingernails. The evidence had been cataloged, but never run through an independent lab. The defense has been pushing for access to that sample for months. The state argued there was nothing new about it. McCaslin disagreed. She ordered the sample released to the defense's expert. Whatever's left after the defense lab finishes goes back to the prosecution. If an independent lab identifies that profile, the defense has a name attached to genetic material recovered from Maggie's body. Now, that's not nothing if it can be identified, but do keep this in mind. You go to the grocery store, you pick up anything around the store, and if your fingernail, just a little bit of that, you can have someone else's DNA under your fingernail, and it has nothing to do with the murder. So let's hope she didn't pick up a box of Uncle Ben's at the Kroger earlier in the day, and there's Peggy Sue, who was also looking at the great deal that was going on it in aisle 5. That is a possibility. Or if there was any sort of fight physically, which it's not a ton of evidence for that, but if there was a little scratch, a little DNA, if that connects to someone in the Ether of Murdaugh, that's a big deal. That's a big deal, especially if it's someone we're not expecting, like a Cousin Eddie, for example. Now, I'm not saying that he would be there, but I'm saying, you know, there's a lot of suspicion of other people being involved in here. And if suddenly another human being was placed there, or DNA was found in a place that they're really, why on earth would Maggie have that under her nails? Again, 1,000% conjecture and speculation. That has not been found yet, or may never be, because it may not even be there. That would open up some floodgates. That would be the optimal thing for Alec Murdaugh right now, is to have someone of questionable moral fortitude being having their DNA underneath Maggie's fingernails. That would be, even if it doesn't, like, it doesn't even have to lead very far, it creates reasonable doubt, and that's what they're going for. So that's going to happen. It could also lead to absolutely nothing. Unidentified male DNA that goes nowhere. Does not mean CODIS. I mean, they can look in, you know, genetic, you know, genealogy, see what they can find. Who knows? I'll tell you. We all got genetic, we all have DNA underneath our fingernails that are not ours. If we go out in public and interact with things beyond our own household. Even if you do interact with things in your own household, things came from places. It happens. The idea that someone other than Alec Murdaugh killed Maggie stops being theoretical and becomes something a second jury has to weigh if we get there. And then, late in the hearing, the defense raised something nobody in the courtroom expected. Murdaugh's team told McCaslin that weapons recovered from a recent murder in Allendale County may be connected to the Murdaugh case. The claim came from Fitch News reporting. What is this all about? Defense attorney Jim Griffin told the judge that if shell casings from the Allendale case match those tied to Moselle, the defense wants all testing records and investigative files. A firearm connected to the Murdaugh case may have been used in a separate killing entirely. If that's true, the ballistics analysis from the original investigation has a problem the prosecution hasn't accounted for. Creighton Waters told the court he'd never heard a word about it. And he may not have, because there may really be nothing to have heard. This could be somewhat theatrics. We're going to look into it, though. We're going to dig, because who knows? I mean, that would be quite a thing. That's the lead prosecutor. He talked to Sled quite a bit. He's 8 months from retrying the biggest murder case in South Carolina history, and he just learned allegedly about a potential ballistics match from the other side's lawyers. Now, it could be nothing. It could just be the same type of bullet. Could it be part of the Alec Murdaugh arsenal? Yes, it could. Has it been tested? No, it hasn't. So could it also be some of the arsenal that Bruce Willis used in the original Die Hard? It could be. Has it been tested to be part of the arsenal from Die Hard 1? No, it hasn't. So we don't really know for sure. That's kind of where it might be at. Sounds neat, contextually, until you start playing it in other directions. Just insert one other thing into the Mad Libs, and it doesn't make it quite as exciting. Makes it kind of ridiculous, actually. But, hey, if there's something connected here, all in. Let's find it, if there's a connection to those actual weapons. We'll see. I'm curious as to how they're going to make that connection. Something with the bullets themselves, the ballistics, that'd be a good question actually for Coffin Daffer. I'm going to ask, make a note too. I'm going to make a little notesy to ask her that when we talk to her today, actually. Cuff. Alex, bullets used in other crimes. Because my question would be, how would you know if you never found the damn weapons? My guess would be something to do with the bullet that was found, or the fragments that have been found in the victims somehow attaching themselves to what could be identified as maybe some of the markings on the Murdaugh guns. I don't know. I'm curious. We'll get more info on that. But again, it could be a big deal. Could be, or could be absolutely nothing. McCaslin told Griffin the claim certainly raised my eyebrows. The man running the state's case found out from the defense in open court that Sled may have information about the murder weapons that his own office doesn't have. Maybe. And the hearing still wasn't the biggest motion pending. On August 10th, the defense filed a motion asking McCaslin to dismiss the 2022 murder indictments entirely. If granted, the state would need to re-indict Murtaugh before the retrial can actually proceed. The motion alleges that Sled's lead case agent, David Owen, gave perjurious testimony and presented fabricated physical evidence to the Colleton County grand jury that charged Murtaugh. Owen was the lead SLED agent on the murder case. According to the defense, Owen testified about blood evidence on a t-shirt that Owen himself had admitted was false. Yeah, that's always great for a case. The defense says it has proven the evidence was fabricated by law enforcement. McCaslin hasn't ruled on it. The defense hasn't filed its supporting memorandum. The prosecution hasn't responded. The next hearing now, November 14th, right before Thanksgiving. So we'll be getting ready for turkey the next time we're talking about that turkey. The retrial is set for April 5th, 2027. Murtaugh is still serving a 40-year federal sentence for the financial crimes he pled guilty to. Whatever happens with the murder charges, he's not walking out of prison. Maggie Murtaugh is 52. Paul was 22. They were shot to death at their family home 5 years ago. The state of South Carolina gets one more chance at accountability for what happened to them. Creighton Waters is the lead prosecutor on the case. He walked out of that courtroom on August 14th, 2026, knowing less about the evidence than the defense does. That's where it stands. Your thoughts in the comments section. We'll continue our conversation right there. Again, if you're not doing so yet, take the podcast with you. Ta-da! That's the QR code. Scan it, then you can get the audio wherever you go so you don't miss any of our coverage. On the many cases we're following for you right here. All right. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
One more case continues to bring
last
us
dirtbag of the day.
Bring us more things to talk about. Alec Murtaugh. Alec Murtaugh's defense walked out of an August 14th pretrial hearing with a venue change, access to DNA evidence, and a prosecutor who just found out Sled may have information about the murder weapons that his own office didn't have. Retired FBI agent Jennifer Coffendaffer is with myself and retired FBI special agent Robin Dreek to discuss the big hearing that happened the other day. I have a question I wrote down because I did a little monologue about this earlier today, and I was like, I have to ask Jen about this. So I'm going to lead with that. The prosecutor, the defense of Alec Murtaugh, brought up that there was recently another crime nearby, and the murder weapons may be connected to the murder case. Creighton Waters said, I had heard nothing about that, and it may be a big nothing burger. It could just be grandstanding in the court, and Alec's attorney's going, maybe. Yes, they also may be OJ's weapons, too. Maybe. We just don't know the answer to that yet. It could be all of that. But let me ask you, logistically, we've never found the murder weapons of the Alec Murtaugh murders of Maggie and Paul. How would they actually be connecting those to another murder? Is it the bullets that would have been used in another crime that would be matching possibly the bullets or the markings on the bullets from this from the Murtaugh crime, or where and how might there be a connection being made with weapons that have never been found?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I don't have any mud here, or I would sling it across the room right now.
Yeah.
But separately from that, I truly believe and have always believed those were his weapons, their weapons. Remember, they were missing.
Yeah.
Right. So you got all your weapons, and then you're missing two. So, okay, number one, and remember, the ammunition that was used was their ammunition.
Yeah.
They found the exact ammunition. So it was Murtaugh's, right? I've always said, what person from the outside ever brings no ammunition and no guns to kill, right?
Uh-huh. Steal your gun, steal your ammo, and kill someone in your house.
Yeah.
It happens, but not like
so
that.
So this is connected. It's going to be pretty damn connected if it's truly there.
If it's truly there, it'll be easy to connect. I just doubt it. I really think Alec buried those weapons somewhere. I think it's going to be almost impossible for them ever to be found, although someday some hunter might find them. That would be the only way they could be connected, if somehow he pawned them someplace and blah, blah, blah. I mean, let's just throw Occam's razor away right now.
Yeah.
That philosophy. But I guess stranger things have happened. It's not going to be hard to prove if that's the case, because they'll be able to ballistically identify it.
Yeah, because I just looked it up, because the only way to really positively identify it would be the round casing, not the casing, yeah, casing if they had it, but it's actually shotgun rounds. It wouldn't be from the rounds themselves, because those would have etchings if it was like a solid round, but I just confirmed first shot was a double-aught buck, second was the bird shot, and then a 30 cal, I mean a 30 block out rounds for Maggie, so... Yeah, so buckshot, birdshot, there's no matching of guns with that. So
how about though on the shell, the firing pin hit?
Yeah, did they have, because let me
that's
check
what
to
I'm
see
wondering.
If I got those, because it could only be and that's is the firing pin hit enough of a distinctive marking?
It's not great. You really need extractor.
I know it's not. Yeah, you need the ejector. And I don't know what, on the plastic. Yeah, on the plastic casing though. I'm gonna look this up. You all keep talking because I've never seen it done with a shotgun shells before.
But I guess what I meant by ballistically, just to be crystal clear on this, is that do they have the weapon that matched the weapons that were missing from Murdoch's? In other words, those weapons are very distinctive.
Yeah, I mean they're pretty generic on the way that it was more like, you know, but wait, there's more. And that's kind of where we're sitting right now. So we don't know exactly the details of how these might be connected, other than, I mean, I could see them saying, well, it was the same type of bullet that was used. That may be the same. And yes, and it, you know, it may be the same to, you know, a million other guns too, because there's that many bullets out there for different type of weapons. Until we actually have something like the marker, you know, from the actual bullet itself, from the firing and the pin, it seems like it could just be a lot of speculation. But that would be interesting if they were to find that. But riddle me this. Here's what kind of came to my mind. Again, not trying to be conspiratorial, but if I were the Alec Murdoch camp and I wanted to create reasonable doubt where there really is no existing reasonable doubt at this murder, that this murder even has at this moment in time, I would get those weapons back out into circulation with criminals as quickly as possible so they could be found used in another crime. And then someone could go, see? Criminals use these in another crime. Someone else had to have used them to murder Maggie and Paul. It couldn't have possibly been Alec. So if Alec knows where those weapons are and had somehow of a way to instruct someone to get them back into circulation, that would be your probably best route to create reasonable doubt if, in fact, they could end up being used in a different crime and not have a super solid connection back to Murdoch other than, well, these are the weapons.
Tony, Robin, really quick before, and then Robin, I know, is going to hit us up with these great stats, but really quick, the other thing is you throw that out knowing you don't have rifling, knowing you don't have extractor and ejector marks, knowing you only have that pin mark.
Yeah.
And so now you can say almost any gun, shotgun, could be connected, right? So I think that's what they're doing, but Robin.
Yeah. So the short answer is yes, you can use shotgun shells, but it's limited more than rifle or pistol cases for things we've been saying. So you can have firing pin impressions on the primary, breech face marks and extractor and ejector marks like we typically see in other ones. But there's limitations. And so results are frequently inconclusive on this when we do an analysis. But to Tony, to your point, I see the challenge you'd have if you're Murdoch saying I'm going to put those guns back into circulation to kind of mask it, that there because you have people involved, and people create leakage.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And there's going to be breadcrumbs that that could potentially lead to how they got into their hands. But again, he was under how many pills a day? You know, making the really stupid decisions. So it's I wouldn't put it past him.
I want to know the story from Harpootalan where these weapons and these other crimes came from. I think that would answer that question pretty quick. Did you buy them at a pawn store? Did you pick them up in the woods? Like, did you buy them from some dude that had, like, where did they come from? That in itself, quite honestly, if it lead, that could lead somewhere.
Just reasonable doubt noise is all I think it all is.
That's all they need. Yeah, but the answer to that question is even more fascinating. Another big thing that was brought up, SLED to release the fingernail DNA to the defense for independent testing. SLED's standard method confirmed unknown male DNA under Maggie's fingernails, but could not identify who it belongs to. And that's where it sat, just as a mystery. It's where it sits as of right now. The defense argued for months that SLED's own retesting would destroy the sample before an independent lab could use it. There's only so much to go around. So this is a big deal. It's going to be tested. It could go nowhere. It could still be inconclusive, but it does get us into possible genetic genealogy to look at. It does get us in other databases that it could be looked at. Where do you think this goes? Does it mean anything at all, Jenner? Again, is this just kind of another pile of mud, see what sticks on the wall with a piece of spaghetti, and on the surface, unknown DNA. Yeah, you can also get unknown DNA by going grocery shopping and picking up some cans. What's your thoughts? Is there any weight to this?
Oh, okay. Where's the mud pile? I mean, at the end of the day, this is what the defense has to do, especially when you don't have great facts, and they don't have great facts. I would be going right down this road, too. You know, oh, guns used in another. Oh, it's a shotgun, and that's a similar gun. And, oh, my gosh, you see right over here? I would be trying the same stuff they're doing. I think it will be important to see what DNA is under, you know, Maggie's fingernails. But at the end of the day, there's absolutely zero evidence that Maggie got in a fight with her person. In fact, she was crawling on the ground. She had left after Paul got shot, and she's literally crawling on the ground like a cat. And was assassinated. There's nothing to show us that they had some sort of fight or something.
You know, it rings, you know, since you hit the thing there, it just rings a little bit true to kind of Ann Taylor with Brian Koberger saying that while he's out stargazing. You know, it's just when you, I think you made a great point, Jim, when you see someone throwing as much as they can that are kind of ludicrous kind of theories out there and ideas, it kind of shows you how little they have to work with to kind of divert and just create any kind of sense of reasonable doubt they can, because that's exactly what Ann Taylor was doing for Koberger. Anything she could do for reasonable doubt, and everyone's kind of chuckling along the way saying you're loony, but she was giving it her all. I see it the same thing here.
We're getting a different courthouse this time. That's good news. So the judge has not officially decided. They're asking for Charleston. The argument there is the Masters is going on 150 miles away at that time. Hotels book up. It's going to be expensive. But the judge is saying it's going to be somewhere else. Whether it's in Charleston is yet to be seen. At this point, Alec Murdaugh is probably the biggest trial that we've seen actively go on in this country in the last 5 years. Does it matter that it's a county away or that it would have happened in Colleton County anymore? How much do you think that is going to play a role in how this jury sees Alec Murdaugh a second time around, Jen?
Well, I think it's a defense coup, and I do believe that they have a better chance at getting individuals that know very little about this. You know, we always talk about this, but there are so many people that they work all day. They come home. They eat. Even if you live in South Carolina, you may have heard the name, but you're just too busy to keep up with all of this. And so I think it'll be easier because the population will be larger that they're choosing from to get people who might know nothing or very little about it.
Yeah, I agree. Get it out of population centers where they've either been affected by Murdaugh and his family for one reason or other, not just in this generation, but other generations. Definitely a good defense move.
Well, it makes me wonder a little bit, too. I was thinking about this earlier. You know, if you do have it in Colleton County, the Murdaugh name has obviously gone down in terms of its clout scale of power and level. But there are still, you know, there's brothers, there's siblings that are active, and there is still some respect to the Murdaugh name in the area for the other, you know, respectable members of the family. So the unchecked power may have gone down, but there may be reasons. People would not want to, you know, vote to convict Alec Murdaugh still to this day for whatever other reason may exist. It may have absolutely nothing to do with these crimes, or at least, you know, that was, I think, a factor round one, even though he was convicted. Do you think that exists today of any of the unchecked power of let's not cross the Murdaughs, or has that faded more into the ether in the last 5 years or so, Jen?
I think it's faded, and I further think it fades the further away you get from their hub. And yeah. So, again, if we're in Charleston or one of the bigger cities, and by the way, having gone to the Masters 150 miles, no one stays in Charleston to go to Augusta.
So why is Creighton making that argument? Does he just really not want to go to Charleston? It's a lovely city.
It is lovely. What I'm wondering is if he still wants to make it more rural. You know, that's always going to help a crime like this rather than going into the big city where crime is more, it happens more of the time. People are a little bit more numb, blah, blah, blah. I think that's why. I think he'd rather see this in more of a rural setting.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
And I just looked up, as we were just talking, I was curious about if other family members still active in politics or law, and it's only his older brother, Randy, who is still active as a lawyer, longtime attorney in the family firm, originally PMPED, now rebranded as Parker Law Group to kind of distance himself. Anyone listening, Parker Law Group still has Alex's older brother as an attorney.
Which they've done nothing wrong. They are victims of their brother to a certain extent as well. But it'd be interesting to see this round who still is sitting on the side of Alec Murdaugh behind him in court. Are we going to see all the family this round as we did the first round? I think maybe they've had a little more time to kind of wrap their minds and maybe make their peace that brother Alec is not worth not worth the Murdaugh name anymore. I don't know. It'll be fascinating. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Love for you to weigh in. Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer. Wherever you get podcasts and YouTube, search it, press subscribe, and follow her coverage of all these cases there. Robin's latest book, It's Not All About Me, available wherever you get books and audiobooks. Check it out. Press subscribe. Leave a review on Amazon. Greatly appreciated.
Thank you. All right.
And until next time, press subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts and give us your thoughts in the comments section. Until next time, for Jen and Robin and Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.